Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Well, welcome back to my channel. And now reporting about a contentious subject, really commenting. So there have been reports coming out for a couple of years now about the SAS fighting in Afghanistan. That's a special air service found a way back in the Second World War. And that this special forces unit, despite the word air, they can all parachute. They don't necessarily attack from the air. So they are doing the most difficult missions deep behind enemy lines. I once went to talk by the guy who goes by the nom de guerre, or maybe pseudonym, Andy McNab. So wrote his memoirs, Bravo 2-0 and so on, about his mission into Iraq in 1991, on the one that got away. But the other people, military veterans, say that he was a liar and a fantasist. There's a book debunking it. But in the early 90s, it was quite a fashionable thing. It was very popular. And some British people thought they were really great guys and so on. And I know they've got this superhuman level of fitness and endurance and all the rest of it. And special forces all over the world can boast that. I mean, the Irish Army, our Ranger Wing, is like that, because you don't fight that much. So is the SAS better or worse than any other special forces in terms of whatever their physical fitness? I don't know. I can't compare these things. I'm not a military person. And just because I'm British, I'm not automatically saying that they're better than the other ones. I've no idea. But I suppose we basically not kid ourselves about war. Obviously, war involves killing people. That's the first principle of war, to kill the enemy. One thing Andy McNab said is that the SAS are not principally there to kill people. If you simply wanted to kill people, you'd bomb it, you'd fire a missile or whatever. Often it's to get the intelligence you can only get by having a pair of eyes there. Things you can't just get by hacking phones or, you know, spy satellites and stuff like that. So they try to avoid contact with the enemy. It's only if they're cornered, only they can't back out of there, only then that they open fire, which is why his memoir Bravo 2-0 seemed like such a pack of lies, because he has them killing dozens of people when the whole purpose was to strive to avoid that. anyway, so the Ministry of Defence, they wrote in 2019 that a letter in a BBC Panorama show about SAS war crimes in Afghanistan were mostly correct. Now, Sir Ben Wallace, he is now Sir Ben, was Defence Secretary in the years after that, and they had to deal with this. So, the SAS were there fighting the Taliban in Afghanistan, and blatantly that involves killing people. They kill their enemies, and so to kill your enemy in wartime, and then if you can capture them, take them back to do that. I know there was a rule, you don't kill someone who's unarmed, but then we have really long-range weapons. You can fire a missile thousands of kilometers, and it's thought to say no moral or no legal difference if your enemy is armed at the moment of impact. It wouldn't make it illegal or immoral to kill someone who's not actually armed. Supposing it hits a ship and there are hundreds of sailors on the ship, very few of them are armed, few of them are actually involved in being able to fire missiles or whatever from that. They might be working in the kitchen or the engine room. They get killed, and nevertheless, that's not regarded as illegal or immoral. But what if you've got firearms? I mean, that are handheld. Can you kill people who are unarmed if they're your enemies? If they're combatants, I think it's better not to. And inevitably, mistakes are made, which is why they're blue-on-blue incidents, which is why soldiers accidentally kill their own side. Why do people wear uniforms? It's partly so you don't kill your own side, and partly so you can distinguish combatant, civilian. We're not going to kill the civilians. We will kill the combatants. But if the combatants don't wear uniforms, then you can't tell who's a combatant and who's not. Everybody seems dangerous. The safest thing is to do is just kill everyone. But, you know, that would be immoral. That would end up killing loads of civilians. But obviously, some organizations want it that way so that you might be that you look bad for having killed civilians and so on. So the SAS, they almost always wear uniforms with operations, but they try not to be seen. Using camouflage as much as possible, concealment, camo cream. But sometimes they did things where they were out of uniform, you say, outside the Geneva Convention, if caught, wouldn't be treated as prisoners of war because they were not wearing their uniform, they were not carrying arms openly and so on, behaving like spies rather than soldiers. Now, it's unavoidable. They will accidentally kill civilians. You know, if you fire into a building with an enemy combatant and an enemy civilian, you might kill the civilian as well, or a friendly civilian, or mistaken identity. See someone in the dark, approach them from the direction of the enemy, assume him or her to be an enemy combatant, shoot the person, find out the person is actually a civilian or is carrying something, looks like a weapon, shoot the person, and discover actually it wasn't a weapon at all. So it's terrible. Better if mistakes weren't better ha happening. It'd be better if there was no war. But I do accept that they will accidentally kill civilians, and that's terrible for that individual, for the family, the friends. They're human beings too. Though I definitely supported the NATO mission in Afghanistan, I am not so stupid as to think that all NATO soldiers are absolutely angelic. There will be people are morally mixed, a mixture of good and bad, and a few of them will be evil. There's some psychopaths in any society, and an army is reflective of the society in which it's drawn. Of course, a few head cases will get in there. So the SAS, obviously, they're very physically fit, mentally tough as well, have to go through these grueling selections and the Brecon Beacons and stuff like that, have to endure interrogation, see if they can take up to it, a very, very low pass rate. But why would you join? Because you really want to be the spearhead force, do the extremely demanding missions, extremely dangerous things, and yeah, willing to kill, a certain ruthlessness to be able to do it without hesitation. And Andy McNab even talked about that in his book, The Good Psychopath, when supposedly they saw a little goat herd, this boy, and he was going to give away their position. Were they going to kill him? So we just wouldn't do that. But said, but wait a second, but what if that was the difference between the mission succeeding or failing? He said, okay, then we would. You think you'd kill a little child? Wow, horrific. I mean, you think I just couldn't bring myself to do that. But that's what a psychopathy demands. I remember years ago seeing this documentary about the Falklands conflict, as made just after 1982. And one of the SAS troopers was this super posh guy with a really cut glass accent, but he was this dead-eyed goon, not making eye contact with the camera, talking about they surrounded some Argentines in the dead of night, saying, "We bounced them around for about half an hour, and then we killed 11 of them. I strangled two of them to death myself." And like so numb. How can you be so unemotional about this? But I suppose if you're a squeamish person, you'd better not go into it, because that's the sort of thing you have to be willing to do. Goodness, and you know the Taliban—they're this cause absolutely despicable. But the odd thing is, the good people join evil causes. If everybody around you believes in that cause, your family, your friends—this is defending your community—you go along with it. And so you shouldn't kid yourself that it's all going to be completely clean. Yes, combatants killing combatants with weapons in action, running around in the middle of the night, mistakes are made, and sometimes it's not a mistake. They might deliberately kill civilians. And some of the SAS troopers were disgusted what other people in their squadrons were doing, deliberately killing all military age males, even if there was no danger, didn't have a good reason to believe in the Taliban, allegations of deliberately killing a child. Well, that is murder. So that some of the evidence was allegedly faked and so on. So yeah, some of these people should be charged. And then with the withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021, the United Kingdom, along with the United States, helped to get thousands of people out who'd helped the United Kingdom. But some of the Afghan special forces were held in high regard by the British Army. The British Army was just really short of troops. You'd think would want to take them out, but apparently the SAS blocked the evacuation of some of these Afghans precisely because they could testify. And if they're in Afghanistan, they can't be made to testify. And some of the SAS know what they've done is wrong, is illegal. And obviously, the laws of war allow a certain latitude, accepting that mistakes are going to be made. And mistakes will mean the death of a totally innocent person in some cases. Then in other cases, it was no mistake. I mean, or even recklessness, allegedly. So obviously, the SAS should be brought to account. And if they've committed murder, I mean, on purpose killing a civilian, knowing him or her to be a civilian, well, yeah, of course they should face trial. Now people say, oh, but then no one will ever join the SAS again. I don't think that's true, because obviously you don't want to be barbaric like the others. So military solidarity can go too far. This person's in my unit, so he, she can do no wrong. We'll shield him or her. We'll lie for him or her and let them get away with murder, and that mustn't be allowed. Anyway, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon and PayPal, georgecallan7 at gmail.com. Goodbye.